I usually don't do this, but this morning we're going to do things a little bit different. I'm going to give a disclaimer before I even begin my message. I don't usually give a disclaimer, but I think I need to because today's message is on a topic that is so easily misunderstood. This morning I want to speak about money. And in particular, I want to talk about tithing. But before I begin that, before you shut me out, I want to make something very clear. This is the disclaimer. This message that I want to give this morning is not a fundraising message. Okay? I want to be very clear about that. This is not about fundraising. I am not preaching because we need to raise more money or because we're facing some hardship or because we had a bad month or anything like that. On the contrary, the truth is we've had a fantastic month. In fact, we've had the best month I think that we've ever had in terms of finances. We are on target in every way. All of our needs, praise the Lord, are being met. In fact, I did a little calculation this week. This is one of the blessings, I guess, of being district secretary. You get to find things out. Did you know that the giving in our church per member is not only the highest on our district, isn't that great? Okay. But get this, it is 3 times the average on our district. In other words, the people in our congregation, on average, are giving 3 times what is happening across our district. I think that's phenomenal. I think that's just absolutely amazing. And you might be wondering, well, why are you talking about tithing then, Norman? Because the kingdom of God isn't about averages. If you are part of a church where, you know, people are growing and coming to the Lord and all sorts of wonderful things are happening and you aren't a part of it, then, you know, being part of that church, you don't win by being part of the average. And every now and then, we need to look at this area of tithing, and it's actually been 4.5 years since I even talked about this. So time flies. And so I thought, you know, we need to take another look at this one more time because the kingdom of God is about obedience, individual obedience. And so with that as our disclaimer, let's take a look at what the scripture says. And I want to begin by just looking at the question, what is a tithe? What is this thing called a tithe that we talk about, that you hear about every so often, just about every Sunday when we have tithes and offerings? The first instance of a tithe goes actually back in Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, when Abraham, in gratitude to God, gave one-tenth of everything he had to Melchizedek, who was priest, who had blessed Abraham. This was not required. This was not the law. This was not commanded in any way. This is something that Abraham did in response to the priest and to bless. As he had been blessed, Melchizedek had blessed Abraham, and Abraham wanted to bless the priest as well. And so that's what he did. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham. Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. That was like, you could say that was the first instance we see. But later on, it was put into law in the book of Moses. The law of Moses in Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30 and 32, where it says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. If a man redeems any of this, his tithe, he must add a fifth of the value to it. The entire tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod, will be holy to the Lord. And so there in Leviticus, we see how the command was given to give a tenth, to bring a tenth of everything and make it holy to the Lord. This was the command that was given in Leviticus. Now you might say, well, that was Leviticus, and that's the Old Testament, and that was the law of the Old Testament, and there's lots of things in the Old Testament that we don't live under the same way as that they did. We're living under grace and not under law. And I would say, you're right, praise the Lord, because if we were living under law, we'd be in a lot of trouble for not keeping Leviticus chapter 27. But we are living under grace. God does extend grace, but grace never means that we do less. Grace always means that we want to do more, and there's lots of biblical teaching on that that we could look at sometime as well. But anyway, this was so important that the idea of giving a tenth was so important that through the prophet Malachi, God says that he considers withholding the tithe to be the same as robbing God. He says, will you rob God? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. And then he says, as a result of their robbing God, that they are under a curse, the whole nation of them, that they're all under a curse. And all I want to say there is that this is serious stuff. You know, that's all I'm trying to get to here. We can slough it aside easily and say, well, you know, this is Old Testament and this isn't that important today, and that it's just money, and you know, money isn't what counts, and all those sorts of things. But there was something so serious about it that God equates it with robbing him. And he says that they are under a curse because of it. Now, I'm the last person who will say to you that, you know, if you follow the Lord, you're going to be wealthy and healthy and all that kind of good stuff, that's what's going to come your way. But there's a principle here. And we need to deal with principles. There's a principle here that can't be ignored, that obedience to the Lord brings blessing. That doesn't mean that in every single step that there's going to be something good that comes, but overall, in the scheme of things, in the big picture, there is going to be blessing when we walk in obedience to the Lord. Paul recognized it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And he sure does. He said it back in Malachi, that if he would bring in the tithe, that he would throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. God does love a cheerful giver. God does bring blessing. Not always in the way that we would expect or hope or want, but when we are walking with the Lord, when we are walking in obedience to the Lord, there will be results of that. And overall, in the big scheme of things, we will see blessing. Might not be in every little thing that you want, that we want, but there is definitely blessing. So why is tithing so important? Why is it so important? Well, first of all, we've already seen that tithing is an act of obedience. If God instructs it, we need to follow it. We don't need any other reason, really. We don't tithe in order to get rich. We don't tithe in order to feel less guilty. We don't tithe so that we get more from God, as if we're, you know, making a bargain with Him. We tithe simply because God instructs it. Well, sometimes people will say that, you know, the command to tithe is an Old Testament law, and that doesn't apply to us because, like I said before, we're living under grace, not under law. And it is true. We are, thankfully, living under grace. Fact is, we have blown the law many times in numerous ways. If you don't tithe, God isn't going to zap you. But whenever Jesus refers to the Old Testament law, he never seems to reduce the law. He seems to go beyond it. An example, Jesus talks about the law of murder. You've heard that it's been said, do not murder. Jesus doesn't erase that law. He goes beyond it. He says, well, you shouldn't hate somebody either. We have the Old Testament law. Jesus recognizes it. And he says, let's move beyond it. And there's several examples of that, not just one. In the New Testament, Paul wrote, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This doesn't mean we don't need to give. It just means that what we give needs to be given cheerfully. It is an act of obedience. It is also an act of love. You might say, Norm, how does obedience and love, they seem to be contradictory. You either do something out of obedience or you do it out of love. And I think we see that a lot of times in relationships. We see that a lot of times with children and parents. They respond out of obedience, but they also respond out of love. And that's really what you want to move towards. Somebody is responding out of love. In the days of Hezekiah, going back to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 31, there was a great revival going on. And Hezekiah took an interest in reestablishing the religious faith of the nation. He brought priests in who cleansed and consecrated the temple. They had sacrifices. They observed various religious feasts, and Hezekiah decided that they were going to celebrate the Passover. So he invited people from all over Israel, and they were going to have an incredible celebration. It lasted 7 days. They celebrated for 7 days, and after 7 days, nobody wanted to go home. So they continued for another 7 days of worship and celebration. 14 days to worship and praise God and the joy that was there. And if you could imagine it, you know, we have services for an hour and a half is long. After an hour and a quarter, an hour and a half, it's like, wow, time to go home. These guys had it going for 7 days and looked like nobody was going home, so they stuck around and had another 7 days of worship for 14 days. We ought to try that sometime. There hadn't been anything like it since the time of Solomon. Worship was exciting. It wasn't a drag. Nobody came to worship with their head hanging down and mumbling a few prayers and singing a song and leaving out verse 3 and then going home. These guys were so excited that they didn't want to leave. And when they did go, they brought revival with them. Wherever they went, they removed anything that was offensive to God. They destroyed anything that was offensive to God. And meanwhile, Hezekiah was still assigning priests to offer sacrifice. And this is where we get to 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 4, where Hezekiah ordered the people living in Jerusalem to give a portion due to the priests so they can devote themselves to the law of the Lord. And then it continues in verse 5. Listen to this. As soon as the order went out, remember, this is after that great celebration. As soon as the order went out, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, their new wine, oil, and honey, and all that the fields produced. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. The men of Israel and Judah, who lived in the towns of Judah, also brought a tithe of their herds and flocks, and a tithe of the holy things dedicated to the Lord their God. And this is the part I love. And they piled them in heaps. I love that. You know, they piled them in heaps. Of course, if they were bringing, you know, cattle and I don't know what else, you know, grain, you know, it wouldn't fit in an offering plate. But, you know, they piled them in heaps. The magnitude was just enormous. This isn't just an offering plate that they passed around that took 3 minutes while somebody played an instrument. Verse 7 says they began bringing their donations the third month, and they ended on the seventh. Talk about a long offering. It's a good thing Clayton wasn't playing the offertory for that one. You know, he'd need a break partway through. An offering that took 5 months. No wonder it was in heaps. And the point of all that is simply to say that when they gave, it was a spontaneous act of love. It wasn't under compulsion. It wasn't because they had to. They would have done it with so much joy and blessing and celebration. They had been blessed. What else could they do but to give? It was a joy for them. The God of their fathers was being made real to them. They were connecting with their heavenly Father. Previous kings had led the people away from God, but Hezekiah drew them back to the Lord, and they responded with joy. They celebrated with giving. They gave an overflow with a gratitude of love. An attitude of love and gratitude in their heart. You could say that they gave not only out of obedience, but they gave with a lot of love. And in the process of giving, they were also participating in worship. And really, that's the key part of this message that I want us to really focus on, is that tithing is an act of worship. These people in Hezekiah's day weren't grudgingly giving a token offering as if they were paying some bill. You know, you get the bill in the mail and you look at the cost and you send in the payment because you have no choice. And that's not how these people were giving. They gave as an act of worship. And then there's a whole theology on that too. There's a reason why we have our tithing time in our service. Because it is. We believe it is a part of our worship of God. Tithing, when it's done in a spirit of thanksgiving and praise and obedience to God, is an act of worship and an important part of it as well. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 28, book of Genesis, and look at one more incident that happened before God commanded anything about tithing. Genesis 28, verses 20 to 22. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me, and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I may return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all that you gave me, I will give you a tenth." In essence, Jacob is saying, because God protects, because God provides, because God is the owner, I'm going to set up this altar, which we recognize as a place of worship and sacrifice, and return to God one-tenth of what He has given. Jacob, even there, was seeing giving as part of his worship of God. He wasn't motivated by a commandment or a law. He was motivated by love for God. And so I come back to this morning. The issue about tithing isn't money. The issue is ownership. Who or what is Lord of your life? That's what it boils down to. When pastors are concerned about tithing or people aren't tithing and stuff like that, it isn't the money. It's the heart. What's happening in the heart? If there's a heart that is walking in obedience to God, loves God, wants to worship the Lord, understands that He is the owner of all things, then we will give. We will give cheerfully. We will give gladly. So I want to encourage you. Don't give because you have to. Don't give simply because you feel bad. Give because you want to obey. Give because you want to express your love. Give because you want to worship the Lord with all of your life, with all of your heart, with all of your being. Give because, yes, God commands it as well. And the promise that God made through the prophet Malachi is this: bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. There is an interesting concept there. I think it's the only time in the scripture that we're actually invited to test the Lord on something. Test me in this, says the Lord. I'm not saying do this so that you get lots more in return. That's, you know, we don't play games with God. God knows our heart. But what God is saying is, if you would respond to me in obedience, if you would try me, you will see just what kind of blessing I pour out into your life. You will not regret it. You will be glad for it. And yet we hold on to the little that we have, thinking that we can't possibly do better by giving away, where we know that in the kingdom of God, most things, if not all things, work backwards. The first shall be last. The last shall be first. We want to get ahead. We need to give more. This church has been giving more. I'm excited about that. I'm excited that our finance committee sits down and says, you know, we've done well. We've been blessed. How can we bless others? How can we give to others? And we received a card from one ministry that we supported. Just last week we received a card from them saying, thank you. Thank you for remembering us. And God blesses as we bless others. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. And that's why I give the disclaimer at the beginning. It's not that we're trying to raise more funds. That's not the issue. And the truth of the matter is, we're in a harder position because of the funds that we have. It's easy to make decisions when you don't have money. It's true. I remember those days when, you know, you'd see something, you'd wonder about something, and you're like, phew, we don't have money. Forget that. That's not happening, you know. Things would come in the mail. Nope. 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 It was easy. Right? It is. But when the Lord starts to bless and God's people are faithful, then all of a sudden it's like, oh boy, you know, well, we can. Now the question is, should we? You know, what does the Lord want of us? How should we proceed? What's the best way to use what God has given us? And so it's a harder job, but God gives us responsibility as we are faithful, and then He gives us more. And so I thank the Lord for that. So I want to encourage you. It's not about fundraising. It's about your own life, your own heart, your own walk of obedience with the Lord, and God pouring blessing on his life. And I got to tell you, just by a word of testimony, and I hesitate to say anything about this, but you know, we do need to share examples of God's faithfulness. And I do thank the Lord that when I was very young, teenager, my parents taught me the importance of giving, the importance of tithing. They taught me 10%. They taught me how to calculate that. And it wasn't very hard. And when you're a 13, 14-year-old and you're delivering newspapers and you make $5 at the end of the week, it wasn't hard to calculate 50 cents. And it wasn't hard to give 50 cents. It wasn't. It was not hard to give 50 cents on the $5 I made delivering newspapers. But that set a precedent. That set a pattern. And I just got to say, it's been good. It's been good. I have been grateful to the Lord all through my life. I have never, ever, ever even felt like I was deprived. I have felt blessed beyond, far beyond anything that I even remotely deserved. And God has been faithful. God has been good. And so I just want to encourage you. It's not just something to try. It's something to live. And let God pour out his blessing on your life. It's not for my good. It's for your own sake. It's for your own good that we need to do it. God invites us. Test me in this, says the Lord. This is so serious. I gave you a time back guarantee earlier on. God says, I'll give you a better guarantee. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room to store it. Wow. And I believe it. I have seen it, and I believe it. And I pray that experience for every one of us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do give you thanks this day for your faithfulness, for your grace, Lord, for your grace for the times where we have withheld and thought that we knew a better way to do things. And Father God, I pray that you'd help us to really put our trust in you, to really put our trust in you in the area of ownership of possessions, to know that all things come from you and belong to you. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to be people who give, and that you would bless that. And we know that you will, Father God. For any who are going through hardship right now, financial hardship, Father, I pray that you would just be with them and help them to continue to walk in obedience with you, Lord God, and that the day will come where you will pour out your blessing upon them as well, Father. Father, we just want to give you thanks again for this day, for your presence, for your closeness, Lord, for that is what we need more than anything else, Lord. Your presence in our lives is the greatest blessing, Lord. And for that, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to add, if you don't know the Lord, and I don't want to assume that everybody here does, I hope you do, but if you don't know the Lord, that is your first and greatest need beyond anything else. Giving 90% of income isn't going to do anything for you. Our greatest need is to know the Lord. Know the Lord your God as your Savior. That is what we need first and foremost. And so I want to encourage you, if you don't know the Lord, give your life to him. It's just a matter of coming to him in prayer. Ask him to come into your life and let him take ownership of every part of it.